would pray that you might know peace, that you might have peace in a season and a place where there may be so little peace, a peace that is available in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you will but pray. We have an affirmation of our faith together, as we have each week at Daleville Christian Church, and this from 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, probably one of the most basic affirmations of faith, and I have little doubt that it was used in the apostles' churches. We believe Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. It is upon this affirmation of faith we have hope. Now, the reading for today is rather lengthy. It couldn't be avoided, really. We're looking at a story that is really a report that is really about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's in the 11th chapter of John, and we'll read the first 37 verses. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let's also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here, and he's asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. For today's Bible reading, I didn't ask that we finish the whole report as recorded in John's Gospel. I assume that you all knew the end of the story. Lazarus is raised from the dead in chapter 11. I also thought the little title over the whole report a little odd, "The Death of Lazarus," it reads. But isn't this report in John chapter 11 really all about Lazarus' resurrection from the dead? Yes, it is. However, unless you are certain that Lazarus had died in verse 14, you wouldn't be surprised to read about Lazarus walking around in verse 44, right? The miracle is based on the truth of the little title. Lazarus really did die. Therefore, praise God when you read that Jesus really raised Lazarus from the dead. I almost always use verse 35 of chapter 11 in every funeral that I conduct. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, "Jesus wept." I use it as an example of how natural tears are when we have sorrow and grief. We Midwesterners who do not want to make any show of any emotion, even acceptable and appropriate emotions. I use this verse to let people know that tears at a funeral are natural and appropriate. Even Jesus wept on his way to Lazarus's tomb. And notice that Jesus wept even while knowing that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So grief has nothing to do with faith, weak or strong. Grief is human, and that is one reason the verse is in here, in the Bible, in John's Gospel, for all of us to read. Jesus was also a human being. Jesus did one of the most human things anyone can do. Jesus wept tears of sorrow. All animals make tears. Only humans cry from emotional reasons. Jesus was both God and man. But there's more going on here in this report on Lazarus and his family, much more going on here than either Jesus' humanity or Lazarus coming out of the tomb alive at Jesus' word. Yes, there is more. There is even information about prayer, about faith, and about God. So let's look again at a report that is familiar to many of you. Chapter 11, verse 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany. It's in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, that's the basic message Jesus was given. Based on the rest of this chapter, we can assume that the sisters do want Jesus to come to Lazarus for the purpose of Lazarus's healing. It doesn't say so in verse 3, but it's mentioned in verse 21 and again in verse 32. Even the other Jews said the same thing in verse 37. Some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" So it isn't a stretch to think that the message to Jesus is more than "Lazarus is sick," but rather, "Lazarus is sick, please come and heal him." Also notice that we are not told what sickness ails poor Lazarus, but as some of us already know, it doesn't matter what sickness Lazarus had, Jesus could heal it. Jesus could heal Lazarus no matter what. But Jesus will not go back to Lazarus, and Jesus cannot go back to Lazarus unless Jesus has the okay from God the Father. And Jesus does get that okay, as mentioned in verse 14. In that verse, Jesus says, this whole episode, Lazarus' sickness and death, is not about Lazarus. This whole episode isn't about sickness. This whole episode isn't about healing. This episode isn't about life and death. This episode is all about God the Father. Not even the safety of Jesus and the disciples is to be a consideration as to whether going back is a wise decision. It is God the Father's will, verses 8, 9, and 16, make the consideration of danger clear to Jesus. It is God's will and doing God's will that matters. There is danger in going back, but we will go, Jesus says. Jesus is therefore making clear two things. I go to Lazarus for one reason only, not because I was asked to go to him and heal him. And I don't refuse to go for personal safety. Jesus goes to Lazarus because that is what God the Father wants done. Verse 11, after he had said this, Jesus went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. I am going there to wake him up. Here is another I am statement of Jesus. I am the name of God. The great I am goes to wake Lazarus up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This detail tells us not only is Lazarus dead, but Lazarus is not freshly dead. Lazarus is really and truly dead. Lazarus is history. Lazarus has been dead. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 32, Mary says the very same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha and Mary surely have faith in Jesus to heal. They both said so. And we don't know what illness killed Lazarus, and Martha and Mary both know it doesn't matter what illness Lazarus had. Jesus would have healed Lazarus if Jesus had been there before Lazarus died. Even the other Jews that were there with the sisters, they too are prepared to believe that if Jesus, who could heal a man born blind, mentioned in chapter 9, Jesus could have healed whatever it was that sickened Lazarus, as they say in verse 37. Then Martha and Jesus had this little discussion about life after death. Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see, Martha is not of the Sadducee party. She believes in resurrection. She's not of the Pharisee party because Martha believes in resurrection at the last day, and Martha takes a step the Pharisees have not taken. Martha goes one more additional step to say, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha states clearly, Lord, you are the promised one. I want to highlight a few other points that John shows us. Even when Martha confesses that she knows that Lazarus will be raised at the resurrection, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, Jesus' response is this, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And that's when Martha states that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's a little more faith than Martha stated before. But Martha could have put everything together from what Jesus said when Jesus said, but I am the resurrection and the life. Martha might have asked at that point, Lord, Do you mean to tell me that you are going to raise Lazarus from the dead right now? And Jesus could have responded, you have said so. Or Jesus could have responded, let it be done as you have said. Jesus is saying, it isn't enough to know what I can do. You need to know who I am. Jesus is saying, and to all of us, it isn't enough to know what I can do. You need to know who I am. Now, you might be asking, what does any of this have to do with us? And I'm glad you asked. Here it is. Let us think in terms of prayer and prayer requests. Martha and Mary make a prayer request of Jesus. Lazarus is sick, and you, Jesus, can heal him, we know. We know, Lord, it doesn't matter what illness Lazarus has. We know that you, Lord, can heal Lazarus. That's faith, isn't it? That's the faith we confess when we go to prayer every Sunday here. Lord, we believe you can heal. And in that level of faith, we look for the answer to that prayer at the level of healing, right? We ask for healing, we're going to look for healing. That's what Martha and Mary had faith for. Go to Jesus, ask for healing, wait for healing to take place, because we believe that Jesus can do that. Even the other Jews were with them on this expectation. Ask Jesus, Jesus can do it, Jesus can heal anything. That's faith. What John is showing us is that faith is really too narrow. That faith is too focused on what we want. What we want is healing. What we expect to receive in asking for healing is healing. Jesus says this whole episode isn't about healing. This is about God. It's almost as if Jesus was saying, your faith and your prayers are too small. God is going to do something your faith hasn't even conceived of yet. John is telling us in this report that sometimes our prayers, sometimes our expectations, sometimes our faith, sometimes our time frames are way too small. Can you believe that God is great enough to do something more wonderful and marvelous than healing Lazarus? Can we believe that God says it ain't over just because we think it's over? Can you not have that level of faith? Can we believe that God can do more and God will do more than we think or imagine? Or to put it in the negative, can we confess that we simply don't know what God can do and we don't know what God will do? And why should we confess that? Because we always limit God. Martha and Mary and others thought that Jesus needed to show up before Lazarus expired. No, Jesus didn't need to get to Lazarus before Lazarus died. Why? Because Jesus is the great I am. And if Lazarus died and Lazarus did die, does that mean Martha and Mary don't get their prayer answered? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But that's where most of us have our faith, isn't it? If Lazarus died, and Lazarus did die, does that mean Martha and Mary don't get their prayer answered? Most of us would say yes, that's right. They didn't get their prayer answered. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But that's where most of us have our faith, isn't it? This is what we wanted, so this is what we asked for, and we didn't get it. I can confess that's often where my faith is. The sisters didn't get what they asked for, so their prayers weren't answered. Many of us are right there with them. But you see, their prayer was too small. The sister probably should have simply told Jesus, "Lord, we want Lazarus alive. We want Lazarus to live." Because that's what Jesus is going to do. And if we believe God will answer that prayer, it doesn't matter when Jesus shows up, does it? Jesus will make Lazarus live. And in this case, Lazarus will live again, today, now. Who among Martha, Mary, and their friends were prepared to make that prayer that day? Martha, Mary, and the other Jews were not prepared to pray for Jesus to raise Lazarus. They were not yet at that level of faith. And if we are honest, I know that when I am honest, I often am not prepared to pray that level of prayer either. I know I have often not prayed much above my own expectations, hopes, and dreams. And when I think about it, that's pretty limiting and pretty limited. I can give you a ready example. I prayed, it seemed to me I prayed for years, for the Lord to make me an effective pastor. I have wanted to be an effective pastor. And I know that I believed that if God would make me an effective pastor, that this church would benefit, and I believed it would be institutionally beneficial. We would have more people in worship, we would have a larger budget, we would do more outreach. Look around. Has my prayer been answered? I thought having more than 100 people in worship on average was not asking too much effectiveness. Well, come to find out that effective pastoring does not always equal much success. I know Americans don't understand that, but I can ask you to find me more than a handful of examples where an effective pastor has seen institutional success. I can show more examples of failed pastors who were, for a while, big successes. I can show you examples of effective pastors, many, many more, who are effective pastors, but whose churches are not doing well. So I prayed to be an effective pastor. The church is smaller now than when I started praying those prayers. However, as your bulletin tells you, I discovered this year that Daleville Christian Church has thousands of sermon downloads. To me, that's the answer to my prayer. My prayer is answered even though all of those downloads have not put a dime into the church's offering plate, and all of those downloads have not put a dime in my pocket either. The church's website is a non-profit charity. We give stuff away all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have people come to receive what we give out. My prayer has been answered. I know a person who believed that they should move up in their company. They prayed. They applied for higher job positions. Nothing happened. Then once the person thought they heard the Lord say they needed to think bigger. Then the person began to think that way and decided they could be even more effective if they ran for public office. They ran for public office and got elected. Was that person's first prayer answered? Well, not to move up in the company or another company in the same line of work. They were moved up to a whole other level of effectiveness. Some of you might know this story. A faithful man knows he needs several more dollars in income, like 2,000, I don't remember the number. More dollars in income. The man prays. Soon after that, the man is fired from his job. Is his prayer answered? We would say no, right? And I'm sure the man was sorely disappointed at that point. Then he was hired at a different job for the same pay he was making, plus the increase in pay the man prayed to receive. The man prayed for an increase in his income. Fired from his job. Got another job that hired him at the same pay plus the exact amount he had prayed for. You see, all of these people, including me, demonstrated a certain level of faith, just like Martha, Mary, and their Jewish friends. All of us had faith in Jesus and what Jesus was able to do. But our prayers were too small. If I may say it as a criticism, so we see what I'm trying to say is that I trusted in Jesus as I imagined him. I trusted in God as I imagined him. I still had faith, but I didn't have faith in who Jesus really is. I didn't trust God for who God is. I only trusted the Lord as far as I could think. But God, our God, is so much more. Mary and Martha believed the Messiah as they understood Messiah. They didn't imagine that Messiah standing before them was so much more. He is the resurrection and the life. There's a benediction we use regularly here at Daleville Christian Church, Ephesians 4, 20, 21, which makes this same point. Let's close with it today. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or imagine. To him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.